Simplify your life. We hear that a lot. In fact, this series is spiritual simplicity. Doing less, loving more. But how do you sustain it? Some of you have made some big decisions about simplifying your life. But you know what? It erodes. 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, pretty soon, it's busy, busy, busy. How do you sustain it? How do you simplify and keep loving more and doing less? That's today.
Well, thanks for joining us for this edition of Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Chip's our Bible teacher on this daily discipleship program. I'm Dave Drewy. And today Chip continues his series, Spiritual Simplicity, Doing Less, Loving More, by revealing the source of true love and what it takes for us to get connected to it. Now, after the teaching, Chip's always with us in studio to bring some additional comments about his message, so I hope you'll stay with us for his follow-up. Now, with part one of his message from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, here's Chip.
The big question that I'm wanting to ask and answer is, how do you sustain spiritual simplicity? And every week we've had a song. Were any of you kind of waiting, wondering what the song was going to be this week? Come on, go ahead. Were you? All right. This is my favorite song of all the songs because it's my era. It's the OJs. It's Get On Board the Love Train. And we're going to talk about getting on a train. I'll explain what that train is. I'm going to explain theologically what that train looks like. And then I'm going to give you a game plan to get on, stay on, bring other people on a love train. So what is the love train? I sat down and you know what? I don't know where the OJs are coming from, but I know where God's coming from. And the love train to God is a supernatural community that is forcefully moving through His story that we call history to bring life and love. He wants to bring that up there, His kingdom, a little bit of it down here, where people that have no idea that there is a God who is real, who is loving, and who cares. And He wants you and me on this love train, and He wants us to invite people by how we live and what we do. And the love train is the Church of Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you what, the tracks are God's sovereign, faithful, unchanging purposes. And He's going to fulfill His plan over time. And it's a time to glorify Himself, to bring all things under the reign of Christ, to present to Himself a people to be loved and to be loved by Him in a new heaven and a new earth forever. And the ticket has already been purchased. It was purchased by Christ on the cross for everyone. And everyone who is willing to believe, to turn from your sin, God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son that whosoever would believe in Him shouldn't perish, but have eternal life, a quality of life that begins now and that goes on forever and ever and ever. It's the love train. The architect is God the Father from the foundations of the earth. The engineer at the head of this train is the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are His body, and He is the firstborn from the dead. And the conductor going up and down the train, checking on you and checking on me and wanting to know how's it going and letting you know where the stops are is the Holy Spirit. It's a real train. It's kind of almost like a liquid relational train too, because there's times where we're all spread out, going all kind of different places, but God has these tracks, and this train called His church is moving on it. And He's invited you to come aboard and to bring others. And it makes lots of stops. And if you want to write something under the stops, the frequent stops is wherever there's a human need. That's where the love train stops. When there's a lonely person, the love train stops. Someone has a financial need, someone is depressed, someone is discouraged, someone in your neighborhood, someone at work, someone in your family. Every time there's a human need, the love train stops. And the Spirit of God dwelling inside your mortal body, as you're abiding in Him, will take the truth of His word out of your lips and your hands and your life and your money and your gifts. And He'll express the love of God through you. And I want to say, get on board. Get on board. You get on board the love train, you'll simplify your life. You'll stop doing some stuff that's meaningless. You'll stop pretending. You'll stop trying to gain approval. And you'll stop all kind of things that seem so important now. But 6 seconds after you die, you'll look back on your life and realize it was junk. It was silly. It was irrelevant. I was playing Trivial Pursuit, but for real. Well, you say to yourself, okay, I got it. The message of living a sustained, spiritually simple life is get on board the love train. We talked about the process, and I'll review it for you at the end. You got to surrender to some point in time in your life. You got to step away from the world. You got to step into community. You got to step up and be who God made you to be, and then you got to step out. Now, let me give you the theology. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I want you to understand, this is God's love train. This is the Apostle Paul, and he so understands in the midst of his hurt and his pain, and he's going to talk about before this passage how he's perplexed and how he's discouraged and he's down but not out and difficulty, and then he's going to get at the end of this passage in chapter 6, and he's going to talk about what he's actually been through and squeezed into all the adversity in life. He understands that life matters when you live and have an eternal perspective. And in verse 14, he tells us very clearly. He says, "For Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died and was raised again." So just notice here. Christ's love compels us. What's life like on the love train? It is not trying hard. It is not being moral. It's not coming to church, and it's not being religious. It is being connected in surrender with the Spirit of God through the Word of God and authentic community. His love compels you. Actually, the word is, it's a picture of being hemmed in. If you've ever seen one of those movies, you know, like one of the old Batman movies where the walls are coming in and they're trying to get out of there, or an Indiana Jones movie, the Apostle Paul is using that word to say, the love of God is just hemming me in. I'm compelled. I am so loved and see the plight of people apart from his love. I have to do this from the inside out. And then notice he says it changes his focus. He says, we're convinced that one died, therefore all died, and he died for those. Here's the focus. That we should live no longer for ourselves. That's big. That's what surrender's about. This isn't like Christ is a part of your life. This is where the central focus of why you get up and what you do with your time, your money, your energy, and your relationships, you don't live for you anymore. We no longer live for ourselves, but for him, Christ, who died and rose again. And so the question is not what will make me happy, it's what will make you happy. The question is not what do I do with my time, the question is what do I do with the time entrusted to me. The question is not what do I think I should do with my kids, the question is what does your word say I ought to do and must do with my kids. See, it's a radical change on the love train. Then he goes on to say, in verse 16, it gives you new eyes. So, notice the purpose, from now on we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though once we regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. I have it memorized in a different version, and it's amazing when you're reading these words and my brain's saying another one. In my version of many years ago, therefore from now on we recognize no man according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh. He says, when you're compelled by the love of God, and you're now not living for you, but you're living for him, he says, you get a new set of eyes. And the color of their skin and their background and whether they're smelly or clean, whether they're cool or uncool, you don't look at that anymore. You have that experience like Samuel the prophet did when, you know, he said, hey, I know God's got a new king around here somewhere. And the big, tall, handsome guy says, is that it? God says, no. And they go through all the boys, and finally, it's the youngest one. And then he says in that passage, 1 Samuel 16:7, for God doesn't see as man sees, for man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord weighs the heart. And when you're on the love train, that's what you start looking at. You look at people's inside beauty. You start looking at where they're really coming from. You look past all the exterior, and that's why the body of Christ starts looking real, real different, with all different kinds of people, with all of our different baggage, all of our different struggles, all of our different backgrounds, all of our different colors, all of our different cultures. That's what the love train's all about. And not only that do you get new eyes, but you get a new hope. Verse 17, he goes on to say, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come. You know, we quote that, and I actually got it in a little set of verses about your new life in Christ, and it's absolutely true that when you come and turn from your sin and receive Christ as your Savior, if anyone is in Christ, you become a new creation. The old is passed away. Behold, everything, notice the tense of the verb, becomes, it's a process, becomes new. But in the context of this passage, you know what it's saying really? It says we don't look at people external anymore. And now he says, when we look at people, there's no single person or situation beyond the love and the redemption of Christ. What Paul's really saying is, this whole passage is about reconciliation. This whole passage is what happens when you're on the love train and the love of God is pulsating through your spiritual veins. He says, you know what? I don't look at people the way I look at them anymore. Therefore, if any man's in Christ, he's a new creature. The old stuff he did, the addictions that she had, I mean, the stuff that we think God could never forgive, the stuff about people that we want to reach, oh, they're never open. I got news for you. If any man is in Christ, the old's passed away. God can do anything. He wants to do anything. He did that for people in this book. He's done it through church history. And so you get a new focus, you get new eyes, you get a new hope. And then notice in verses 18 and 19, you get a new responsibility on the love train. The love train is not a sit back, it's so good to be heaven bound. What would thou haveth me to do, thine God? He says, well, I'll tell you what I'll have you to do. I'll have you strap it on. Those guys in the NFL don't even understand what contact is all about. I've sent you into a spiritual warfare, and I have equipped you, and I love people, and I've sent you to get out and rescue them. And so notice what it says in verses 18 and 19. He says, all this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and, underline this in your Bible, gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ. And here's the good news. Not counting men's sins against them, and he's committed to us this message of reconciliation. Our message isn't clean your life up and start coming to church, need to read the Bible a lot, start doing this, 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 this. Here's the message. Guess what? God currently is not counting your sin against you. He counted it and placed it on Christ. You have a ticket that's been purchased on the love train. God loves you. And if you get honest with people, most people running their own life, it's not going very well. Most marriages aren't going very well. Most parenting isn't going very well. Most people's finances aren't going very well. And if you talk real honestly with the people where it's going really, really well, it's a weird thing to have everything going great and have this huge emptiness in your life. And God called you and God called me to be winsome and loving and caring and outwardly focused and to believe that no one is beyond his reach. And then you have this new responsibility. You want to tell him, God's not counting your sins against you. He loves you. He's forgiven you. That's good news. Would you like to receive the good news? And then finally, he's given you a new role and me a new role. Look at verse 20. He says, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. The word reconciled just means become friends. God's just saying, I want to be friends with people. Sin is a barrier. Let's get reconciled. It's like two people that are having trouble in a marriage, they get reconciled. People that went divorced and they realize, man, this is not working, and they repent and they get some good counseling and they're reconciled. God says, I want to reconcile all people and you are my ambassadors. What's an ambassador? An ambassador is someone from another country, from another land who represents where he came from. And your citizenship is in heaven, and so is mine, and you're in Christ, and you're heaven bound, and you're on the love train if you're a Christ follower. And he says, I want you like liquid to seep into every kind of need and just love people where they're at. Don't judge them. Tell them the truth. Put your arm around them. Don't make it just words. Actually help them and tell them there's a God who cares. And then verse 21 is just this amazing, amazing verse of truth. It says, God made him, Christ, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him, while we might become the righteousness of God. We not only have a role as an ambassador, we now have a standing before the God of heaven that is identical to the Jesus of heaven in terms of God seeing us completely righteous, a son, a daughter. That's why the love of Christ compelled him. Paul was a very, very, very religious man. until he got saved. And then he realized how broken all of his religiosity was. And then he got in relationship with the living God. And then he became a passionate, relational follower of the living Christ with unlimited power, that little phrase, who was dead and came back to life. And Paul would remind us, that same power dwells in you if you're a Christ follower. So spiritual simplicity, how are we going to sustain it? Number one, here's a little word picture. Get on the love train. And then second, remember the theology. When you're rightly connected to the living Savior, the love of Christ will compel you. This is not about duty. This isn't about oughts. This isn't about shoulds. This is about God's love being so experienced because you stepped down and you stepped away and you stepped in and you stepped up and you can't help yourself. You're stepping out and reaching and caring for people. And when that begins to happen, you don't live for you anymore. You have a new focus. You live for him. And then you get new eyes. You don't see the same way. And there's a hope for everyone that you meet, no matter where they've been, what they've been through. And then you realize, I got a new responsibility. My new responsibility isn't just kids' SAT scores or someday, some way, I hope I'll get married or I hope this job works out or maybe someday this thing will go, you know, IPO or maybe. There's all kind of important things in life, but your core responsibility is to be an ambassador, a representative of the living God wherever you are, and that your ministry is reconciliation. And he's given you gifts and dreams and desires so that you can do that all kind of different ways and all kind of different businesses and all kind of different gifts and all kind of different roles. And you can be moms and sisters and dads and nephews and nieces and school teachers and bricklayers and plumbers. And we can just be all kind of things because he needs all kind of people. But at the end of the day, what we realize, first and foremost, we're on the love train. And we're imploring people to be reconciled to God because he became sin, the sin offering for them and for us, that they and we, if we by faith would receive it, would become the righteousness of God. Well, the picture is one thing. The theology is another. The third is, I just call it a game plan. How does it really work? And I'm just going to walk you through this. A lot of this, you've hopefully, some of you are going to say, I have heard this before. You should, okay? I mean, this isn't new. I've heard this before. So if I would stop right here and say, okay, if the incarnate Jesus in a supernatural body would come from behind that curtain, walk out, and I'd say, excuse me, Jesus, I know you don't need a microphone, but I'd like to ask you a question. What do you want us to do? I mean, could you just give it to us. What exactly, in a sentence, do you want us to do with our lives? Lord Jesus, could you give it to us? I think he'd say, love God, love people. That's how simple life is. We get it really complicated. Love God. Are you loving God? Now, I didn't say feel like you love, but just love God and love people. The ultimate test of success and the ultimate test of spiritual maturity, of becoming what he commanded, make disciples, is that I love God more deeply and authentically each day, and I love others more sincerely and more practically in ways they can understand.
Chip will be right back with his application for today. But if you're just joining us, you're listening to Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. And Chip's talk today, The Love Train, Get On Board, is from his series, Spiritual Simplicity, Doing Less, Loving More. Spiritual simplicity challenges the norms we're pressured to assume are healthy, and it reveals the reasons behind our complaints that there's never enough time for ourselves, for the people we love, or even God. Spiritual simplicity paves the way to living a simpler, wiser, more connected life. Now, if that's something you'd like to learn more about, you'll find the discounted Spiritual Simplicity resources on our website, livingontheedge.org. For more information, just give us a call at 1-888-333-6003. Spiritual simplicity, doing less, loving more. Well, Chip, you know, as we talk about spiritual simplicity, it's so much more easily said than done, isn't it? And even once we're convinced it's a good idea, there are things that block us from actually making some of the changes we'd like to make.
Dave, that is so true. And, you know, I know from experience, a person can hear teaching like they've just heard and in their heart of hearts say, I really want to love more. You know, I'm going to try harder. I'm going to do that. And then, you know, the lies bubble up. It's like, oh, wow, if I try and do that, I'll just get rejected again. Or, you know, I don't know the first thing about love, or nobody loves me. What makes me think I could ever be more loving? I want you to know that those lies that bombard you, that cause you to be afraid to love or to try again, they're from the father of lies. And those lies are bombarding everyone, but I believe women are even more vulnerable than men. Women today are constantly bombarded with images and comparisons of what they should be and how they should look and that they don't measure up and these false images that no one can live up to. And as a result of that, we created what we call affirmation cards. And my wife was the first one. She actually developed these as we went through marriage counseling in the first few years. And she wrote these cards about the lies that everyone believes, but especially women. And then she wrote on the other side the truth. And the counselor said if I was a good husband and I really loved her, I would sit with her and review these. And so I did. And so, guys, I have to tell you, yes, we talk about they're for women. I realized after I reviewed those cards, I had as many or more issues than her, and all the truth that she was memorizing literally changed my life. Well, anyway, back to you ladies. These affirmation cards, if you long to grow, if you long to see yourself as valued and wanted and precious and lovely in such a way so that you now can give love because you've received it, these affirmation cards are something that you can do just a few minutes every day as you wake up, as you go to bed, and I will guarantee your mind will be renewed, your perspective will change, you will be able to receive love and then give love in ways like never before.
We all tend to believe lies about our self-worth and value, which is why it's so important for you to renew your mind with the truth of God's Word. Our affirmation cards provide specific scriptures to help you do that. These attractive hardstock cards are designed to strengthen and equip you to win the battle for your thoughts about who you are. To preview our affirmation cards online, just go to livingontheedge.org. Order your set today and maybe even get a second set to give to a friend or to send as a gift. Affirmation cards. You'll find them at livingontheedge.org or give us a call at 1-888-333-6003.
As we close today's program, spiritual simplicity demands two very important things. One, you love more. Until you maximize love, you'll never minimize working, doing, performing, and pressure. And we talked about, you know, the love train. I kind of like that song, and it's, as I shared, it's out of my era. But, you know, the question for you is, are you on God's love train? I mean, are you really connected to people? Do you really want to be loved? Do you want to give love? Do you want to see your life change? And, you know, I'll just be very honest with you. It seems to me that we want to appear loving, and it seems to me that we feel intellectually like, yeah, I ought to care about people. I ought to give my time and energy. And I know the Bible talks about, you know, my money should be dispersed to really help others. And I should be reading my Bible because God wants to speak to me. And that's how He works in me. And I certainly need to be connected to other people in some sort of a small group setting and be going to church somewhere where God's word is taught and I'm a part of a body and we're making a difference in our community. And you kind of intellectually nod. And then there's sort of this reality, like if we were really, really close friends, I would sort of bring all this up and then I'd say, so are you really doing that? I mean, really? I mean, or did this message basically make you feel guilty? Here's what I got to tell you is that I'm seeing something happen because I'm in an environment where there's people that have been Christians very, very, very long time who feel just the oughts and the shoulds and you got tos. And, you know, it's kind of like reading the Bible's like taking, you know, castor oil or vitamin pills. And I'm supposed to pray, but my mind wanders and I don't really want to. And I'm supposed to, quote, give my time, my energy, my money. And you know what? It's just religious trappings. And we have seen so many people come to Christ here. And they describe how they came to the services because someone from the church loved them and cared for them in their apartment complex. And they hung out and they just got... They saw this contagious love.
And then they begin to come to church, and he says, yeah, they're talking, and these guys are raw. I mean, they're just brand new in the Lord, you know, 4, 5, 6 months. And he said, we're calling each other at 3 a.m. Hey, dude, I read this. What do you think about that? And then pretty soon, here they start out, and the guy describes his life. He says, 6 months ago, I was engaged to a girl. We broke up, but we had this house that we moved into together. We weren't married. And then we break up, but because neither of us can afford to live anyplace else, I'm living with this girl now who's dating someone else that I used to be engaged to. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. I got a glass of vodka in my left hand, and I'm chain smoking cigarettes in my right hand. And I went to the bookstore and got that book, I saw it on TV about The Dare, something about, you know, you hear this guy talk in church, you know, it's about, you know, this movie about restoring your marriage. And I'm reading it and I'm thinking, maybe God's the answer. And so he says, I go and get a Bible. It's 3 a.m, vodka in his left hand, chain smoking cigarettes, opens the Bible, reads a couple passages and says, you know something? I'm going to ask God for help. And here's what I want you to hear. That young man and other young professionals all started to build relationships. Now they've moved to a house where every room in the house, they watch a DVD, and there's 6 different subgroups. And you know what? No one's telling them they got to read the Bible. No one's telling them they have to pray. No one tells them they have to clean up afterwards. No one tells them that this contagious love that they're experiencing, they are loving more and they're doing less. And I share that story because I want you to ask yourself, have you lost your first love, Christian? I mean, is the Bible alive? And if it's not, just tell God you're sorry. Block off some time. Are your prayers from the heart? And if you haven't been around some Christians like this that have this kind of zeal, go find some. I mean, just rub up next to some people whose hearts are passionate for Jesus. And I will tell you what, God will do a fresh work. We need to get on the love train. And that means there's a smaller group for you to be connected to. That means there's a church with all of its faults, with all of its struggles that God wants you to be a part of. And there's people with needs that he wants you to be the answer to their prayer. So are you ready? Get on the love train. Go make a difference.
Well, just before we close, I want to say thank you to those who make this broadcast possible through your generous financial support. Living on the Edge depends on you to provide the necessary funding to create radio programs, develop small group resources, and offer literally hundreds of audio, video, and print items free every month. If you've been blessed by the ministry of Living on the Edge but have never supported us financially, would you consider sending a gift today? You can donate online at livingontheedge.org or by giving us a call at 1-888-333-6003. And thanks in advance for your partnership. Well, be sure to join us again next time as Chip wraps up his series, Spiritual Simplicity, Doing Less, Loving More. Until then, this is Dave Drewy saying thanks for listening to this edition of Living on the Edge.